Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, Text 18. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantur Agyana Mohitaha Brahmyan Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantur Agyana Mohitaha Brahmyan Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantur Agyana Mohitaha Brahmyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Santura Jnana Mohita Brahmyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvata. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Agyana Mohita Anyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Cha Sarvada. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantura Agyana Mohita Brahmyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Vaishnavis. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantur Agyana Mohita Brahmyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Samsara Chakra Etasmin Jantur Agyana Mohita Brahmyam Sukham Cha Dukkham Cha Bhunkte Sarvatra Sarvada. Samsara Chakra. In the wheel of material existence. Etasmin. This. Jantahu. The living entity. Agyana Mohitaha. Being bewildered by ignorance. Brahmyam. Wandering. Sukham, happiness. Cha, and. Dukham, distress. Cha, also. Bhunkte, he undergoes. Sarvatra, everywhere. Sarvada, always. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of the material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I are to be blamed for this incident. Please repeat. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I are to be blamed for this incident. Purport. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. The bewildered soul, quote, the bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature, end quote. Actually, a conditioned soul is completely under the control of material nature. Wandering here and there, always and everywhere, he is subjected to the results of his past deeds. This is carried out by the laws of nature, but one foolishly thinks himself the doer, which in fact he is not. To get free from the karma chakra, the wheel of the results of one's karma, one should take to bhakti marga, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. This is the only remedy. Sarva dharma pratyaja mamakam sharanam raja. Om jnana timurandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, actually a conditioned soul is completely under the control of material nature. Wandering here and there, always and everywhere, he is subjected to the results of his past deeds or karma. So in another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, the conditioned soul is under the control of three factors, kala, guna, and karma. So kala is time, guna is the modes of material nature, which are mentioned here, and karma, which is also mentioned here. So we can see how we are under the influence of time. We're being forced to move by Krishna's time factor, kalosmi. Krishna says, I am time. And time is pushing us along. We're sitting here right now, and we have to endure 30 minutes of class. And then we'll be doing something else, you know, going and taking prasadam, and then time will push us all into our different activities that we're engaging in. So even in the short term, we can see that we're being pushed along by this time factor. We can't resist it. I mean, I can't just sit here and just say, let time stop. I'll just stay right here. No. You know, time is going to go on. It's going to push me into different situations. If we look over the longer range of time, you know, we can just think of how time has pushed us into so many different situations since we were little babies. You know, by the force of time, our bodies grow, you know, they mature, we get pushed into so many different situations and different kinds of association. as they say in the world, stuff happens. Actually, they use another word, but stuff happens. And that is Krishna's time factor, going on under the influence of Krishna's time factor. So the kind of stuff that happens is determined by our karma and our guna. So karma means that we're suffering or enjoying the results of previous activities that we've carried out in this life or in previous lives. I mean, why were we born in a certain body, in a certain country, in a certain family, with a certain level of intelligence, certain bodily characteristics, a certain amount of wealth, a certain opportunities presenting themselves to us? That's because of our karma, the results of our previous activities. You know, to the extent that we engaged in pious activities in past lives, then we have a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of intelligence, a certain amount of beauty, a certain amount of fame. These things are there because of past pious activities. And to the extent that we've engaged in impious activities, we find ourselves in different kinds of difficulties. Difficulties in terms of health, difficulties in terms of financial distress or other types of influences, bad influences, so-called. And then we're also engaged by our guna, the mode of nature, the combination of modes of nature that we're attracted to. That engages us in our present activities. Of course, here I'm speaking about materialists. With devotees, there's some extra factors. There's the Krishna factor that comes into it, and I'll talk about that. But for the person absorbed in material consciousness, their guna engages them in activities. If one is attracted to the mode of ignorance, the tamoguna, one is engaged, one is attracted into activities characteristic of that mode. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we see, you know, basic description of the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, sleep, intoxication. So if somebody is, if they have an attraction to the mode of ignorance, they will be engaged in activities like that. Sometimes they say guna pravaha, the flow of the modes of nature. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you might find yourself standing next to a river, fast-flowing river. And if you fall into the river, you're going to be swept along according to the nature of the river. So it may be a river full of sewage and all kinds of nasty things and very dangerous, or it might be some nicely flowing river with lotus flowers and nice things. So, but if you're in the river, you're not free. You're being swept along by the river that you're in. So if we look at the life of a person, we can see these factors operating: guna, kala, and karma. Just by the force of time, one is forced into different situations. By one's past karma, the nature of those situations is given. And by guna, one is attracted into further activities that will generate more karma, as described here. So, as described in the verse, deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds everywhere at all times. So this concept of the forest of the material world is something that's mentioned throughout the Bhagavatam. Actually, there's a whole chapter in the fifth canto, actually two chapters, the 13th chapter of the fifth canto and the 14th chapter of the fifth canto, that deal with this comparison of the material world to a great forest. In the conversations between Judd Bharata and King Rahugana, you know, Judd Bharata gives this example. He gives it in the 14th chapter and in the 13th chapter of the 5th canto, and in the 14th chapter in the title called the Material World is a Forest of Enjoyment. It's explained, the metaphor is explained in detail. Just like there's also the story of King Paranjana and the City of Nine Gates. And then that's explained in one chapter or a couple of chapters. And then in another chapter, the meaning of the metaphor is explained. So in chapter 14 of the fifth canto, the analogy of the material world as a great forest is explained. And in the chapter introduction, Srila Prabhupada writes, merchants sometimes enter the forest of material existence to collect many rare things and sell them at a profit in the city. But the forest path is always bedecked with dangers. When the pure soul wants to give up the Lord's service to enjoy the material world, Krishna certainly gives him a chance to enter the material world. As stated in the Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhoga Vanshakari. That means when the soul turns from Krishna, then, out of material desire, then the material world is there for such souls. So, Srila Prabhupada continues, this is the reason that the pure soul falls down to the material world due to his activities under the influence of the three modes of material nature. The living entity takes different positions in different species. So that's being referred to in the verse today. The living entity wanders in this forest of the material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds. So Srila Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam itself. I mean, Srila Prabhupada is just summarizing what the Bhagavatam says. The conditioned soul is like a merchant, who decides to go into the forest and get some valuable things, some jewels, some rare woods, different things that he can take and sell in the city, you know, to get some profit. So this is the nature of material existence. One is selfish. One is hoping to get some profit for oneself. This is the difference between kama and prema. Kama, or lust, means one is desiring something just for oneself, one's own personal satisfaction. Whereas prema, or love, is when the soul is looking for the satisfaction of Krishna. Then the soul, it automatically becomes satisfied. It's kind of like a mystery. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is described as the mystery of devotional service, that if one acts for the pleasure of Krishna, then, and Krishna is satisfied, then one automatically becomes satisfied without any selfish endeavor. It's a great mystery. How, by acting for the pleasure of another person, acting for the satisfaction of another person, one can actually himself become satisfied. It's described as the mystery of devotional service. And to help us understand this mystery of devotional service, you know, the Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu give different examples, like pouring water on the root of a tree. Say, like, we're a leaf of the tree. If you want to water the leaf, you can't pour water on the leaf. You put it on the root, and then it gets distributed to all the leaves and twigs. Or in a body, say, if the hand wants some nourishment, well, it can't just keep the food in the hand. It has to give the food to the mouth, and then it goes to the stomach, where it's digested and distributed to all the bodily parts. So we're part and parcel of Krishna, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, mamayavamso jiva-loke jiva-bhuta-sanatana. That's our natural condition. We're part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, jiva-rasa-rupa-hoy krishna-nitya-das. And by constitution, we are meant to serve the complete whole Krishna. We're a fragmental part of the complete whole, and we're meant to render loving service under Krishna, the complete whole. And if we do that, then we're in our natural position and we experience transcendental pleasure, anandamaya byasat. You know, the Vedanta Sutra explains. So if we're in our constitutional position of rendering service, transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then automatically we experience satisfaction, transcendental pleasure, anandam buddhivardhanam, an ever-increasing ocean of transcendental pleasure. But Krishna explains, mamayvam so jiva-loke jiva-bhuta-sanatana manasa-stan-indriyani prakriti-stani karshati. If the soul is not in its constitutional position, then it enters into a material body in the material world. The material body is composed of gross and subtle elements like the mind, and then there are the senses. Manasastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. Entering into the body made of mind and senses, the soul struggles in the material world, according to Krishna, in the forest of material existence, as it's described here. And in that 14th chapter of the fifth canto, the analogy is explained in great detail. One is in material consciousness, One is trying to accumulate things for one's own sense gratification. And basically in material life, that means accumulating money. And in the analogy, the conditioned soul is described as a merchant. So merchants are trying to get some profit somehow or other by their intelligence in the forest of material existence. So in that 14th chapter of the fifth canto, it's described, well, the conditioned soul does accumulate some money somehow or other. You know, we see that no one is absolutely penniless in this world. Everyone is accumulating money somehow or other. Maybe, you know, the person that we see in the street with a shopping cart going around picking up bottles and cans, or maybe, you know, the president of some big corporation making millions and millions of dollars, or, you know, a person working in some ordinary job getting a few thousand dollars a year, whatever. Everyone is accumulating wealth somehow or other. But according to that chapter, the wealth is getting stolen in different ways. First of all, you know, and these are compared to thieves and plunderers. So there are many different kinds of thieves and plunderers who are taking one's accumulated wealth away from one. It's described that one's own senses are thieves and plunderers, because one is forced by one's senses to spend, you know, one's wealth to satisfy the senses, the sense of taste. You know, one wants to taste nice things, eat nice foods. One wants to see nice things, movies, paintings, a nice house. One wants to hear nice things, so one has to have all kinds of equipment for making nice sounds for one to hear, nice taste, nice foodstuffs. There's arrangements for satisfying all of the senses. And in that way, one's wealth is plundered by one's own senses. And not only is the wealth plundered, in terms of the larger analogy of the forest of material existence, one's consciousness is distracted from the real goal of human life, atato brahma jigyasa, inquiring about the absolute truth, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the actual wealth of the soul. And it gets plundered by the activities of the unrestricted activities of the material senses. And, you know, it said the government will also take, you know, one's money with excessive taxation, you know, that is mentioned. And, you know, different relatives and family members, they will try to take advantage of one's wealth. So it becomes a huge, complicated endeavor. But the main point is that one's consciousness is distracted from the main goal of life. So, to get out of this forest of material enjoyment, which is actually, I mean, there's a promise of some enjoyment, but when one tries to go into this forest to get some enjoyment, one doesn't actually experience that. One just experiences different dangers and There are thieves, there's robbers, there's forest fires, there's caves that one can fall into, and all this is described in great detail in that 14th chapter. So occasionally one will think, okay, I'm lost in the forest, let me get out of here. But then there's so many cheating gurus and yogis and spiritualists who will mislead one. So Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. So the soul is wandering throughout this forest of material existence, going from body to body, from planet to planet. If one is fortunate, somehow or other, one comes in contact with a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. And from the pure devotee, one gets to Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotional service. So we've all somehow or other become fortunate. We've gotten that seed, that Bhakti Lata Beej. Now we just have to cultivate it and protect it and water it. We water the Bhakti Lata Beej with the chanting of the holy names. We protect the creeper of devotional service from offenses. And the society of devotees is very helpful for that. By living in a society of devotees, we can protect ourselves against so many offenses against the holy name. So, and Tesam sadati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. If we do that, then Krishna will give us the intelligence to come to him. And Krishna will create situations that will lead us gradually towards him. And if we take advantage of those situations that Krishna, those opportunities that Krishna presents to us, then we make progress on the road back home, back to Godhead. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtate brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantrarudani mayaya. Krishna's in the heart. He's guiding everyone. So for those who are developing the mentality of loving service to Krishna, he will guide them in one way back to him. But for those who want to continue to forget Krishna and enjoy separately from Krishna, Krishna will guide them in another way. Okay, I'll stop there. Any question or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.